What we believe will determine how we live. If we claim to be believers of Jesus Christ, then we will be followers of Jesus Christ. What we claim to believe, amen, and what we do believe, truly believe, is what we will live. All right, it's not enough to say, oh, I'm a believer. The devil believes that Jesus exists, amen, so do the demons. But to be a believer is to be a follower of Jesus. How many would agree with that? So the question was raised, what pleases God? What pleases God? Well, people have all kinds of answers to that. Being good, being nice, doing good works, justice, love, mercy, and walking humbly with your God. Okay, so all that comes down to all those things are true, by the way. All those things are good, but all those things have to be based upon one word. And what is that word? Faith. For without faith, it's impossible, right, to please God. And you're absolutely right. Those are the things that please God. But if we are living by faith, walking by faith, we will produce that type of fruit in our lives. And that pleases God. Amen. And how does faith come? It comes by hearing. It didn't say it comes by seeing, but it comes by hearing. The what? Word of God. So, how many would agree with me that it's important that we are hearing the Word of God? Now, not just hearing in your ear and acknowledging that that is good. That's a good message. That's truth. Amen, brother. But when we talk about hearing, what does it really mean? It means you're listening and obeying, because when you trust God, you will obey His instructions. And faith is always accompanied with an instruction. And when we obey that instruction, our faith is proven to be genuine, because faith has results. Hebrews 11:1 says it has substance. And it has evidence. So when we're truly living and walking in faith, there is substance, there's evidence in our lives that we are truly believers. Amen. There's a lot of churchgoers. You know, and I say this, I thank God for great church services. Amen. But we need more than just great church services. We need great Christians. Amen. God wants great Christians. He wants true followers of Him. Amen. And if we are individually following, walking with worshipers of God, then when we come together corporately, it's an amazing experience, because you're bringing something, amen, into the offering that we're bringing before the Father. As you have seated and prepared even your heart this morning before you came, how many prayed before you came? I was hoping every hand would go up. How many prepared yourself before you ever came this morning? Amen. Because it's important. Because you have something to offer. Amen. We get ourselves ready to come and be a blessing. Amen. I didn't come to be blessed. I came to be a blessing. Isn't that what Jesus say? I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. He was a blessing, wasn't he? A lot of times we do things because they make us feel good. And how many know that God can give you a good feeling? Amen. If you're obeying Him, if you're doing what He tells you to do. How many know that so often we lose the joy of the Lord because we're not coming in faith, but we're coming, I mean, with a feeling. And if I don't feel joyful today, then I must not have joy. If I don't feel loving today, then I must not be loving. You know what I'm talking about. If I don't feel good today, then I must not be good. If I don't feel saved today, then I must not be saved. But the Bible doesn't say that we walk by our feelings, but we walk by faith in what? Faith in God's Word. Faith in what God promises in His Word. In His presence is fullness of joy. So we have joy if we have Christ. We have peace if we have Christ. We have righteousness if we have Christ. The key is to be in Christ. If you're not in Christ, then you're not His property, and these things are not yours. But you can have them even before you leave today. You can have Christ in you, amen? If you will come on His terms. God wants to bless us so we can be a blessing. He doesn't bless us because we're so spiritual. He blesses us to make us spiritual, right? And so we can have influence in this world for Him. So what I receive from God is not just for me, it's to give away. And if you give, it shall be given unto you. You will reap what you sow. So if I hear God speaking to me, amen? If I'm reading the Word and God highlights something, the words come out and God just said something to me, I need to pay attention. Because with that will come an action or an instruction that I must follow. We can look around in our world today and see that it is sin sick, isn't it? You know, how many beside myself were born sin sick? All right? We've all been born, right, into it, into the mess. And it's delusional to think that we're living in a good world. Is there goodness in the world? Yes. Why? Because God is in the world. Amen? But we also see the evidence of the evil. And what you see in the natural, in the visible, is all coming from what? The invisible, the spiritual realm. Okay? So what we want to be is a conduit through whom God will flow and bring life, amen, to bring light, amen, into this world. We don't want to connect to that other voice and lend ourselves to that, which is death, amen? So if you hear the Lord speaking to you today, don't harden your hearts. Don't resist the Spirit of the Lord. It's a dangerous thing to do. Because if you continue to resist the Spirit of the Lord when He's convicting you about something, then that voice will become dimmer and dimmer. Are you hearing me? And you can harden your hearts. There are gospel-hardened Christians. They no longer tremble at the Word. There's no fear of God. There's no discernment. Because when they once heard and they once received a message from God, they did nothing with it. They refused to listen. They might have acknowledged that that was a good word. But we deceive ourselves when we're not doers of the Word. If we're only hearers and not doers, we deceive ourselves. You understand? Our hearts can become calloused. Now, the good news is that if we'll repent of that, God's able to pour, amen, His holy oil back into us and into our heart to soften, amen, and make that hardened heart pliable again and receptive again to Him. But we've got to repent. We've got to quit posing and pretending and just say, God, I'm not where I should be. I'm not on fire like I used to be. I haven't been living for You like I used to. And I'm going to be honest today. Lord, I want to be, amen, everything You want me to be. I'm coming to You, Jesus, because I need my heart changed. And I can't change my own heart. Only You can. God wants to pour His holy oil into you. And He wants to make you flexible, pliable, teachable, open, receptive, sensitive to Him again. But don't continue to harden your heart. Don't continue to resist His Spirit, His voice. We are admonished in the book of Hebrews about that. Be careful that we don't harden our hearts like they did in the wilderness. And He's speaking to the church. You see, we got people that have heard the gospel over and over and over again, but they haven't really honestly responded to it. And they become calloused. And there can be a point where no longer do you respond. No longer do you hear. No longer can you see. Are you hearing me today? You can become blind because of rebellion. When Samson rebelled against the word of the Lord, the first thing the enemy did is that he plucked his eyes out and blinded him. You understand? That's what the devil wants to do, is he wants to blind you. So if you can hear his voice today, if you can still hear the voice of God, if you hear the voice of God as I'm speaking today, do not harden your hearts. Respond to him. Amen? Open your heart. Agree with the Spirit of the Lord. And when he gives you an instruction, obey it. For the just shall live by faith. Faith is confidence that God will do what he said he would do. We love you, Jesus. And we thank you for what you're doing in our lives, Lord. We sang this song this morning, Purge with Flame and Truth. If you ask God to purify your life, there will be a trial, amen? There will be trials of fire, difficult times that you'll have to endure as you are dying to those things that you need to die to, the things of the flesh, the world, and the devil, amen? So God takes you through the waters because it's good for us. He takes us through the flame because he wants a pure people. But the flame sometimes can be painful, amen? But I'm better off with Jesus, amen? I'd rather have the flame of God's purification than the flame of hell. Amen. So God is preparing a bride, a people, that will be with him for eternity. Amen. Jesus has already paid the price for every sin we've ever committed. He paid in full for those sins. Repentance is more than just a confession. Lord, I'm sorry. Repentance is a change of heart. Repentance means, Lord, I'm sorry enough to stop doing what I've been doing. I'm sorry enough to turn to you, amen, for deliverance and for healing. We make mistakes, and thank God we have an advocate with the Father. Can you amen that? I need to talk to Jesus all the time. I say, Lord, I'm sorry. I had that thought. I shouldn't have had that thought. Amen. How many have evil thoughts occasionally? How about more than occasionally sometimes, right? Because we have an adversary, a real devil, doesn't he? He wants to get us to listen to him and to agree with him. So I need to turn to the Lord and ask for help. Ask for grace. Ask for mercy. Ask the Lord to clothe me in his full armor. Amen? So I can be protected. I read a book a few years ago by a guy named Keller. It was on Psalms 23. And it was a shepherd's perspective on Psalms 23. It was really good. And let me just read you what somebody sent me recently. When Psalms 23 talks about, you anoint my head with what? Oil. Now, why does the shepherd anoint the sheep's head with oil? It's to protect the sheep, okay? I mean, you know that we have to have our minds guarded, all right? We have to be protected. And so oil in the Old Testament represents what? Right? The Holy Spirit? The anointing of God, right? So the Lord is my shepherd, and he anoints, as one of his sheep, he anoints my head with what? Oil. But I have to ask God to anoint my head with oil. How many know you have to ask God? Amen. Lord, I need your anointing. Amen. Anoint my head with oil, and your cup will overflow. But listen, I don't need to read it to you because I know what it says. But listen. The reason why the shepherd anoints the sheep's head with oil is because of the flies and the bugs and the parasites that will infest and infect that sheep. If your sheep are not protected by the anointing oil, then they are vulnerable to the torment of insects. Certain flies actually will fly into their nostrils and lay eggs. And those eggs will turn into worms. And those worms will begin to torment the sheep to the point where the sheep, in hopes that he can relieve himself of the torment, will begin beating his head against a rock. Even to death sometimes, if it's not dealt with soon enough. A sheep will actually beat himself to death because of the torment that these insects inflict upon him. Are you hearing me? They'll also get in the eyes. They'll get into the ear canal. So the oil was to protect the sheep from these infestations. Likewise, our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, promises us protection. If he's your shepherd, if he's your Lord, if he's your Savior, if you're in Christ, then you have protection. But you've got to pray. I really believe, folks, that nothing happens unless we're praying. You know, even sovereign things that God does, somebody somewhere has been invoking God's influence. That's the way God designed it. That's the way God set it up. He has a plan. He has a mission. But it will not be accomplished until somebody responds to his voice and submits themselves to him and prays for his kingdom to come and his will to be done on the earth. Why did Jesus ask us to pray that? Because that's how it works. That's why it's so important that we are people of prayer, people of his presence. That we are calling on the name of the Lord. That we are invoking his divine influence. Amen. Not only in our own lives and our families, but in others. And in our communities. And in our nation, in our capital, in our president. Come on, somebody. Instead of criticizing them, let's pray for the guy. How many know that the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord? And if God's people will pray, amen, he can direct him. All right? You see, the enemy wants us to disconnect from God. He wants to distract us from prayer. Because he knows how powerful it is. If we are in agreement with God's will, God will always answer the prayer that's in agreement with his will. So if you're praying God's will, it will be. God always throughout history has chosen human beings to accomplish his plans, his purposes in the earth. Every one of us, God knew us before we ever knew him. Even as he told Jeremiah, I knew you when you were still in the womb. Isn't that amazing? God knew us before we were born. He's the Alpha and the Omega. So God wants us to cooperate with him, to get in agreement with what he wants to accomplish. As his representatives, we have to get an instruction from our commander-in-chief, amen, Jesus Christ, so that we can do the mission God has called us to. I need to come to him, amen? That's what communication is all about. If you're in the army, in the military, and you don't have good communication with headquarters, then you're just kind of floundering around trying to figure it out on your own, and that can be a very vulnerable and dangerous place to be. You've got to be in communication with headquarters. You got to find out what's going on. Amen. They have intelligence and they have ways for you to know what you're getting involved with. And there's protection. And that's why we need to submit ourselves to God as the lover of our soul, the great shepherd of our soul. Amen. Jesus Christ. And come under his authority and pray for his will to be done. Amen. His kingdom to come. And to pray for the anointing God to be upon our heads. Start praying that. Amen. If you've been tormented in your minds, pray that God will anoint your head with oil. Amen. Yeah. To protect you from the parasites, the demonic, amen, realm around us. He's a good shepherd. He's a lover of our soul. A lot of people are wondering what is going on in the world today. And I want to just share with you from my heart what I believe, what I see, what I'm observing, and where I believe we are at in God's prophetic timetable. I'm going to shift gears a little bit because we need to be reminded occasionally, don't we, that the Lord is coming and that things are not going to continue the way they always have. Things are rapidly changing in our world. The demographics are changing. Geography is changing. Nations are being shaken down to every individual on the planet. All things, according to Hebrews, will be shaken. That only that which cannot be shaken will remain. And the only thing that cannot be shaken is Jesus Christ, who is the foundation of our faith, of our hope. If your life is built upon the truth of Jesus Christ, who He is, if your life is built upon that solid foundation, then you will be able to stand no matter what comes your way. There are a lot of people who are self-confident who are going to learn that that is not going to carry them anymore. You're going to find yourself in a place where you're going to have to trust and believe God. Now, we don't like to hear that because that part of us that wants to be independent of God doesn't like to hear that. So if you're getting irritated already, understand that's that part of you that needs to die. The part of you that wants to rebel against God's rule in your life is the part that has to die. That part of you that wants to rationalize and justify sin has to die. Come on, somebody. We have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in this. Everything in our world is and will be shaken. How many already are finding that your own life is being shaken right now? Probably a good reason why people are starting to come back to church that haven't. Often is because things are starting to get shaky. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. But God has a way, doesn't He? Even in the whirlwind. God has a way to get our attention because God loves you. He's in love with you. He's not mean. The things that are happening in our planet and on our earth today are a result of rebellion against God's sovereign rule. The devil is loose, and the devil has a short time. So he's doing everything he can to deceive, to destroy, amen, to kill. And yet we have the truth of Jesus Christ. We have access to Him who is the Lord of glory, the Lord of heaven. Amen? Jesus Christ said, I have been given all authority. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. So if we are in Him, in Christ, then and we're under His authority, then we should not be shaken by the things that are coming upon the earth. Instead, we should be lifting up our eyes, our heads, amen, because our redemption is drawing near. Instead, we should be engaging ourselves in the mission of the Lord, understanding that this world is a sinking ship, and I got to get off of it. Don't throw all your resources, don't throw your life into something that's sinking, amen? Get on board the ark, Christ Jesus. He is the ark of safety. He is our deliverer. And so John wrote that even during the time when the New Testament was being written, and from the very beginning, since the fall of Lucifer and the rebellion against God's rule, we call it the spirit of Antichrist. Against Christ or in place of Christ has been very active in the earth. Resisting God, rebelling against God, trying to replace God. And so up to our present time, what we are witnessing in the natural is only a symptom of what's happening in the invisible spiritual world. You understand? Hell is vomiting itself out. Because the devil has a short time, he knows it. And he's going to bring as much destruction as he can in the short time he has. But the good news is that where there the iniquity abounds, grace what? Much more abounds. The good news is if you're in Christ, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That we don't need to be afraid or scared or shaken by any of these things or any of our adversaries. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to place our full hope, confidence, trust in Jesus Christ. He is the sure foundation. Everything else will be shaken. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will never pass away. God's truth abides. Amen? It endures to the end. And those who are walking in the truth are the ones who are walking in the security of God. Hear me. Those who are yielding to the Spirit of God are walking in the security of God. The safest place to be is in the will of God. How many know the most vulnerable place to be is in a place where you try to save yourself? There are a lot of people that do impulsive things because they're afraid. How many beside myself have done that a few times? We've done things impulsively because we got scared. We heard a report and we got scared. God doesn't want us operating out of fear, but out of faith. Out of the confident assurance that God is with us, that God is for us. He's not against us. He's the one, amen, that's in charge. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. So we are witnessing. I know there's people that will because they don't want to believe, will not accept the truth. There was a time when I would hear truth and I didn't accept it. I was what you call willfully ignorant. Deep down I knew it was right, but I didn't want to accept it because it meant that I would have to change my life, the way I was living, the direction I was going. So I looked for ways to justify what I did. Sound familiar? Well, God understands. Me and God are pretty tight. It's like you have your own set of rules and your own truth, right? How many have heard that before? How many have used that before? Just get out of here with that truth stuff, all right? Me and God are good. It's funny, you go to talk to people about Jesus sometime, and the first thing I want to tell you, well, I was baptized when I was, 2 years old. I was sprinkled. Diversion. Squirrel, Cause a diversion. Let's get them off track here. I was one of those. Don't get me around those creepy Christians, The light was on and I was in the darkness. I didn't like it. But he who's of the truth will come into the light. Will come to Jesus. And say, Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. You're always right. How many know that God is always right? Amen. He's not just right because we happen to agree with him. He's always right. I'll agree with you on that one, God. Well, not that one. Well, in the areas that we refuse to yield and allow his light to come in are the areas where the enemy can continue his destructive behavior, amen, his work in us. So we've got to be honest people. We've got to quit pretending. We've learned how to pose, how to act. Come on, somebody. In some circles, people are so afraid to be judged. They live a fake Christianity. Amen? I mean, in some circles, and we don't believe that here, but if you ain't speaking in tongues, you ain't going to heaven, Well, I don't want to be, I don't want to, be perceived as not being a Christian or a follower of Jesus. So they start faking speaking in tongues. Well, they do, man. People will just fake speaking in tongues because these people expect them to speak in tongues. And if they don't, they're not Christians or they're not spiritual. Tongues are a wonderful expression, amen, and a gift of God, but it's not the focus. The focus is Jesus Christ. He's the object of our faith. And out of that relationship will flow good gifts, amen? We're not here to please people. We don't have to perform for man, right? You just need to obey God. Walk with Jesus, and it'll be all right. If you live for what other people think about you, you'll compromise. We've got stuff going on, man. The diseases. I mean, it's just the famines, the war, the disease, the violence, the mass confusion, anarchy, the collapse of nations. We've got entire nations that have become nothing more than cartels, criminal enterprises, We see a disintegration of nations that is very calculated and on purpose. Why? Because the devil wants to destroy the sovereignty of every nation under earth and bring the entire globe under socialistic tyranny. How many know that behind communism is the devil? He came to take away your freedom. Jesus came to give you freedom. Amen? And that's what's happening in America. There is a separation taking place. There's a shaking taking place. God is sorting it out right now. Whose camp are you going to be in? Are you going to be on the side of truth? What is truth? Well, Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. So what Jesus says, amen, is what I'm going to believe and I'm going to act upon. I believe this is the word of God. How about you? In Matthew 24, verse 3, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus said, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. We see that happening. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. We see that happening. See that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Verse 7, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places, and these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. He's talking about Israel, but he's also talking about spiritual Israel, which is the church, who's being persecuted and martyred by the thousands around the world. Interesting enough, you don't hear any of that on mainstream media. Not a word. But this Mrs. Smith's cat gets caught in the tree. That's front page news. How many believe there's an agenda going on here? And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Oh, is this not happening? Through offenses, people are... Protect your heart, by the way. Don't allow yourself to be offended. Yes. Forgive. Yep. Amen? Just like the Lord told us to. Because if you're offended, it turns into betrayal. And then it becomes hate. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And that's what we're witnessing on large scale now. Lawlessness in the streets. Amen. No one wants to submit to any authority within the home, within the classroom. Lawlessness. And this gospel, then he says, verse 13, but he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Who are those who endure to the end? Those who are in Christ. Only those in Christ. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. and then the end will come. Folks, things are wrapping up. Things are escalating. Things are speeding up. Even the days, have you noticed that the days are shorter? Our clock says 24 hours, but our days are zipping by. At lightning speed, we're saying, oh my word, is it already Christmas again? Jesus said, for the elect's sake, the days will be shortened. And I think we're in that time now. There are many, many who are in extreme persecution, being tortured and tormented and brutalized. Our brothers and sisters, and for the sake of the elect, I believe God is shortening the days. Things are wrapping up. It's time to wake up. If you're not here today by accident, God wants you to be reminded of these things today. I have to remind myself as well. The good news is that even though things are happening, and a lot of bad things are happening, there are better days ahead for the people of God. Amen. Come on, somebody. There are better days ahead. Amen. Revelation 21, verse 4 and 5. This is God's promise. Is everybody tuned in here? God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know about you, but I don't like this world. This is not my home. We are a pilgrim people. Our citizenship is in heaven if you're in Christ. And that's why we're supposed to be living according to the will of God. Amen? We got to get off this sinking ship. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 18 that all creation is in travail right now. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who His children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse, but with eager hope. The creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as His adopted children, including the new bodies He has promised us. Hallelujah. Is the older you, some of you may be young in here, but give it a little time. You'll be saying, amen. Verse 24, we were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. I mean, know that there's God has something in store, amen? That's up ahead yet. We haven't got the full deposit yet. We've got a deposit as a guarantee, but we haven't got the full thing yet, the full inheritance, amen? That is for those who endure. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, thank God. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us, believers, in harmony with God's own will. So when we're born again, the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts, amen? God puts His Spirit into us, and the Holy Spirit cries out, Abba, Father, and the Holy Spirit assists us in praying. Now, listen, it doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit does all the praying. Don't be deceived. It means that now we have someone, a paraclete, the one who comes alongside with us and helps us in our weakness, enables us. How many know what I'm talking about when sometimes it's really difficult to pray? You start praising and worshiping the Lord, amen, and the Holy Spirit begins to quicken you. And all of a sudden you find yourself in the river of God and it's like, oh, now. It's not a struggle to pray. It's a joy. And God begins to give you understanding of His will. So now you're praying according to His will in heaven. You understand? Sometimes we're just offering up dry, dusty prayers from a carnal mind that's not submitted to God. Are you hearing me, somebody? Or we can get connected to God in the Spirit through worship. Amen? And all of a sudden now we start to get an understanding of the mind of Christ and what God has freely given to us and what He's asking us to call in to the earth realm. We've been called to pray because God wants to manifest or reveal Himself in the earth realm, and He chooses you and I as a priesthood in Christ to call His kingdom government in and His reign in the earth realm. And that's why we need to be praying for the nations, praying for the president, amen, praying for people in charge, praying for our teachers, amen? And because God wants to invade these places, but He puts it in our hands. He gives us the key, but you and I are responsible to utilize that key of faith to connect to God, amen? So that that power of God can be released in the earth realm and His purpose was to be accomplished. You and I have been called to represent Him. And we are holy priesthood, amen. A holy nation, but a royal priesthood. Yeah, we get to do this. God wants His people to pray. The enemy doesn't want you to pray. The enemy is going to attack your prayer life. He's going to come against you. Am I right?
Yeah.
People that are praying are saying yes. If you're not praying, then you won't know any different. You understand? The devil is browbeating, beating people around, kicking them when they're down. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because God's people aren't praying.
There you go. Amen. Right.
We're in a war. We're in a battle. And you've got to fight to survive. You cannot be passive in a battle. You need to know what your weapons are. Amen? You need to know who's in charge of you. And the authorization He's given to you, and the fact that He's already overcome the enemy, He's simply asking you and I to enforce that victory.
Right.
Just enforce what I've already done.
Yep.
Kick the devil out of your house. Kick him out of your head.
Yep.
Get the anointing oil out, amen?
Amen?
Pray and ask God to anoint your head with oil. Hallelujah. So there's a lot of crazy stuff going on, isn't there? Why? Because we're in a war. I didn't choose it. I didn't want it. But I'm in it. And as soon as I said yes to Jesus Christ, I became a turncoat. Oh, I used to serve the devil with passion. But when I said yes to Jesus, all of a sudden I became a turncoat and he wasn't happy about it. So you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to put your foot down and say, no, God has authorized me to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the works of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt me. That's what Jesus said. That's what I put my confidence in. My faith is in the Word of God. God's Word is forever settled in heaven. If God said it, He means it. And He will back up His Word. We have to have confidence that God will do what He said He would do. And if we really believe God, our life will reflect it. When Adam sinned, pain came to the whole creation. Talks about verse 22. All creation has been groaning. And that word groan means to moan jointly, to experience a common calamity. So all of us are in this together. We're in this common calamity called the fall of man. And consequently, because man was given that dominion over the earth realm, the earth itself is in travail. The earth itself is moaning. All creation, God gave us dominion over the fish, amen? Over the cattle or the creeping things even on the earth, right? And in the birds of the air. Because of that, all creation, even the animal kingdom, the animals, are cruel to one another, are they not? Because it's broken. But Jesus came to restore, to heal, to redeem, to make new, all things new. Jesus came to call a people out of this world, to be partners with Him, that He would put His Holy Spirit in, He would give you the authority in His name to begin to speak the truth and expel the lies. He would give you authority in His name to command demons, and they would flee in His name. God has authorized you and I to represent His kingdom government in heaven on the earth. And He's called us to pray. And if you're not praying, you're already pray. Now, I want to tell you that again. If you're not praying, you're already pray for the enemy. There are many people that have already been captured by the enemy and are not even aware of it. They're not even aware of it. Because the enemy blinds. And when you're blind, you don't realize you're blind often. If you were born blind, you wouldn't know what it looked like to have sight. Are you hearing me? I used this example before, but, you know, when we had our daughter's eyes tested, I think she was in fifth grade or something, you know, and I've been wearing glasses since I was 8 years old or something, you know. They found out her eyes were worse than mine. But to her, it was just normal to see things like that. Are you hearing me? Until you get those lenses on, you say, whoa, that's what the world really looks like. Are you hearing me, somebody? God's the one who gives you the ability to see clearly. But when you're in darkness, and that darkness has become your normal, people who are not walking in darkness seem abnormal to you. Isn't that the way it was? Those people are abnormal. How come they're not partying like we are? So we say it again, I have a new normal, right? So in with each one of us, you know, there's this groaning, there's this desire to be free from the bondage of corruption. We're in a corruptible body. Amen? Whether we like it or not, this body, you can take care of it and make it last. Amen? Put a little Bondo on occasionally, whatever, you know. But eventually, it's going to wear out. God's going to give us a brand new body. A glorified body. Just like Jesus when He rose from the dead and appeared bodily. Amen? Hallelujah. And the good news is you can eat in this new glorified body. Yeah, I like to eat. How about you? Another cool thing is He's able to transcend matter. He walked through walls. I've always wanted to do that. I've walked into a few walls, but never through. But these groanings are a result of the fall. And it's like Jesus said, it's going to be like as a woman that is getting ready to give birth and she's in contractions. And we're seeing that in the earth, aren't we? The contractions, they spread out. Amen. At first. But then they become more intense and they become closer together as you're getting ready to give birth. Are you understanding where we're at right now? Things are speeding up. Things are getting more intense. Nothing is remaining the same. Nations are being shaken. Overnight, nations are toppling. I mean, governments are disintegrating. And there's large-scale rebellion. And there are people on the earth who are behind this that are cooperating with Lucifer because they want to rule over the earth. Amen? They want to be kings over the earth. And so in order to do that, they have to destroy the sovereignty of the nations. And that's why we see all the division. It's very calculated. That's going on in America today. They're deliberately trying to split us apart. They're deliberately trying to create race wars. Amen? And wars along ideological lines. And you know, all the stuff that they're saying is designed to create chaos, confusion, and division within our country so they can collapse us from within. And the Lord said, if a house is divided, it cannot stand. How many know that in Christ, you and I are a house that cannot be divided? We're a house that will stand if we're in Christ. So the enemy also wants to divide Christians. Even within the home, he wants to divide. So we can't allow that. We need to put our foot down and say, no, we're not going to allow that to happen. We're going to fight for our freedom. We need to be people of His presence. We need to be seekers of the Lord. We cannot just do business as usual. We cannot be just church attenders anymore. We've got to be people of His presence. We need to learn how to walk with the Lord daily. Amen?
That's right.
And we need to come together. We need to pull together. Because there's strength in numbers. And when we're together in unity, we're pleasing the Lord. We need to allow these things that would separate us to come down. I mean, these walls that divide us. What I mean by that is selfish ambition has to go. I can't be in this for me. I have to be in it for my brother. Amen. I have to learn how to deny myself so I can help somebody else through. It's like Paul was saying, if we're givers, if we give of ourselves, you know, then we receive what we need from God. That's how it works. If I'm serving, amen, God will take care of me. We're not here to be self-served, amen. I know a lot of times what's happened, and especially, and this is all coming down to, I believe, a lot of churches now are just out to accommodate people, please people, make people happy, make them feel comfortable. And whatever the people want, that's what they're going to do. Because it'll keep the crowd coming. We need to be more concerned about what God thinks and what people think. God has a remnant. God has a people in the earth today. And God is drawing that remnant together. He's bringing together a body. He's bringing together, amen, and building up His temple, a habitation of God in the Spirit, a temple of praise, a people who will be united, amen, in the will of God and the purpose of God, who together will advance the kingdom of God in the earth, who together will be strong in the Lord in the power of His might and do exploits, destroying the works of the darkness, amen, around us. God is calling you and I to join forces with Him. God is calling you and I to get busy in building the ark. Because only the ones who are engaged in the work of building up the ark, which represents the body of Christ, were the ones who were on board the ark when the wrath of God was poured out. Are you hearing me? We're called to serve. We're called to love. We're called to forgive. We're called to serve. We're called to bless. Amen. We're not here to be served. We're here to serve. Amen. And as I take care of my brother and my sister, God takes care of my needs. That's how it works. We need every one, amen, of God's troops, amen, to come together and work together. Discover who you are. Discover your gift. Discover your purpose in the body of Christ. And let's do this thing together. Amen. We cannot be separated night after night. And week after week, I pray that God will assimilate this church together. God will bring every one of us into the core, into the heart, into the life of this body. Amen. God calls us to a body. He didn't call us to be a bunch of lone rangers that run around doing our own thing. God has called us to a body. Amen. And that body will corporately express His heart in the world. He calls us to come together. And I pray, Lord, assimilate each one of us into the will, into the purpose. If every one of us would commit to the mission of this church, amen, which is to make disciples, which is to reach the lost. Every one of us will commit ourselves. I can invite a neighbor. I can invite a friend. I can reach out to somebody, amen, and bring them to Jesus. God wants us together. Jesus said, "He who does not gather with me scatters abroad." So you're either going to be gathering or you're going to end up scattering. When I'm in the Spirit, when I walk with God, because the mission of God requires me to walk in the Spirit, I can't do what God tells me to do without His power, without His ability. So the mission of God will keep you in the presence of God, and in the presence of God, you will bear the fruit of God. Are you hearing me?
Yeah. Right.
And God's calling us to serve. Because things are wrapping up. All these things that you see happening, even the things that are happening at the border, are very calculated. If you take a look at Europe, Europe has been flooded with immigration. Okay? Now, Is it just because people are in need of help? There's a lot of people that are in need of help, yes. There's a lot of desperate people, amen, that need somebody to reach out and help them. How about, like, helping their nations? How about helping their governments? How about helping them to help their own people, amen, instead of just allowing things to continue the way they are? Why? Because there's a calculation here to destroy the sovereignty of these nations and to flood the other nations and not to have a common language, a common, if you will, culture. I'm not talking about a race. I'm just talking about the American way of thinking and life, amen, where we're together in a common ground, amen, a unified people as a nation. Well, the devil wants to destroy America. Why? Because America is the number one exporter of missionaries, amen, and support of missionaries in the world. God has his hand on this nation, and God has been using America, and I don't believe God is done with America yet, but we see the enemy doing whatever he can to create a problem or a chaos or a crisis in America that will collapse us financially and bring us under the submission to the New World Order. That's what they keep teaching our kids. Oh, you don't want to be a sovereign American. You don't want to wave that flag. You want to be a globalist. Amen. What does the globalism amount to? I'll tell you what it amounts to. It's the spirit of Antichrist. That's the spirit of Antichrist. There will be a ruler, a world dictator. There will be a one world monetary system. There will be a one world military. Amen. And there will be a one world religion. All the religions coming together. It's called the interfaith movement. It's all coming together. Amen. And one is going to rise up in the midst of it. And he's going to be Lucifer himself. He's going to be the Antichrist. And he's going to deceive many. Even many are going to believe he is the Jesus. Are you hearing me? In place of Jesus. We see right now with the monetary system, we see right now where everything is being scanned, everything is electronic. Your money, there's no money in the bank, folks. There's nothing but a bunch of numbers in a computer bank. We just go and we assume that card's going to work. What if one day we go and say, well, I think I'm going to draw some money out. And guess what? All of a sudden, all assets are frozen. Do you know they have executive orders? They can just go like that. They can freeze transportation, they can freeze food, they can freeze all assets through executive orders. Folks, everything is lining up, everything is coming to that time where you're going to be forced to make a decision. Whether we're here or not, I don't know. Whether the rapture happens before that or not, I don't know. But I do know this, that everything is pointing to the time when we're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to choose to be a sheep or a goat. You can't be somewhere in the middle. Amen. You're either with Jesus or you're not. You're going to have to make a decision either to say yes to Jesus or deny the Lord to save your own life or deny Him and lose your soul. Am I speaking truth today?
Yes, you are.
The devil hates this message. It irritates people when you talk this way. Because the narrative through the mainstream media has been brainwashing for years and years and years, and our kids are growing up in school systems that are not teaching them the ABCs, they're teaching them socialism. And Islam and all the other isms that are out there. So what do we say? What do? Stand up for Jesus. Get close to God. Amen? Draw near to God and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? How can I make a difference?
Amen.
Amen. There's a song that we sing years ago called There's Something About That Name. And it says, kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. Yeah, one day, all the kings and kingdoms. Amen. There's coming a time, the Bible says, when Jesus Christ returns and he stands on the Mount of Olives. Amen. And they'll be split from east to west. He says that he's going to gather. The nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate the sheep from the goats. There are sheep nations and goat nations. And even within those nations, there are the sheep and the goats. And what you're seeing right now is a division in America. But it's more than a political party, folks. It's not about Democrat or Republican. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual war that's taking place. Hallelujah. Because God is for freedom. God is for freedom to choose, yes. Even if we choose wrong, God still gives you the freedom to choose. The devil is a hard taskmaster. He steals away your liberties. He strips your liberties from you and he enslaves you. The devil says you don't need to be an individual anymore. You don't need to take care of yourself. Let me take care of you. Let me provide for you. Just give me your freedom and I'll take care of everything you want. I'll give you everything you want. I'll give you that lollipop if you want it. Just give me your freedom. Just give me your will is what he's saying. Yield your will to me. Yield your will to this socialistic system that I've put in place. So now, we have a generation that's come up that thinks somehow this is a good thing. Well, look at Argentina. See, the Bible talks a lot about nations and how God does things. I'm talking about the Word of God today. Come on, somebody. I'm not trying to make a political statement. I'm just saying this is truth. This is what's happening in our world today. It is a spiritual battle, and the Antichrist is working very hard right now. And we have a president, thank God, who is standing up against it and says, we don't want to lose our sovereignty to the New World Order. We want to be America. We like our freedoms. And we have another whole group of people that are in opposition to this and say, no, we want to all become slaves to the system. And all they say is, hey, give us your freedom and we'll give you your free handout. But my Bible says if a man does not work, he don't eat. Now, if you are in need and you are disabled or you're a single mom, there's some situation where you need some assistance. Praise God we have a good government, amen, that will provide for those needs. All right? I believe in taking care of the poor. Amen? If they're poor indeed and they can't help themselves, then help people that can't help themselves. But if a person is well able-bodied and able to help themselves, then get off your butt and get to work. Do something about it, amen? You got life and breath. God's given you a mind to think. He's given you creativity. See, that's what the enemy does. The enemy says, give me your creativity too. Just dumb them down. Keep them blind. And whatever you do, don't let them hear the gospel. Don't let them hear about the Word of God. We need to get rid of that Bible. Get it out of the schools. Mm-hmm. That prayer thing, oh no, we can't have prayer. We got to make sure prayer comes out too. Whenever God's people go to pray, the enemy says, oh, you better try to stop that because that's not good. You understand we're in a battle. We have to fight. We have to pray. Folks, I'm going to finish with this. The Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Everyone is going to go before God someday. In that day, every knee will bow before Jesus Christ. Every tongue will confess Him as Lord. We bow now. We're going to give an account. What you knew, what God gave you, He made a deposit. We ask God for the gifts of His Spirit. What are we doing with them? We ask God for the anointing. What are we doing with it? God calls us to serve. I'm calling us as a body, as a congregation, to pull together. Amen? And let's serve those around us to serve one another. Thank God for Crazy Love and some of the things they're doing too in that area, you know, of serving even the homeless and helping people to a hot meal. Amen? But there's so many different things that God is calling us to do corporately as a body. It's important that we all get together. Amen. And the vision of God and say, let's do this thing. Let's get the job done. You know, the enemy's a divider. He wants to separate into factions, into groups, into cliques. But God wants us to be together and to work together and to walk together in harmony and in peace. To love one another. And by this shall all men know You're my disciples, that you have love one for another. If I'm loving you, then that means I'm not in it for me, but I'm in it to help you too. And I thank God that we do have such a loving, giving heart here in this congregation. We do have a good church family here. I just want to encourage everyone to pull together. Let's come together. Let's pray together. Before you ever even come into this place, pray up. Prepare yourself. Amen. I want to see God move. Amen. God is moving, but God has more if we will call it in. The lost, our city, can be won. What we need is not another good church service, but we need good Christians. We need people that are going to be salt and light. We need a sovereign move of God in America. Amen. I'd like you to join with me in a prayer. We need to pray. And I want to encourage you to get out and vote. Amen. We've got to put action to our faith. Our nation is in the balance right now. We are at a crossroads. This is one of the most important elections of our nation's history. And we need to pray for the will of God to be done in America and our families. Amen. And this body as well, the Church of God. So I want you to join with me, please, in agreement. Father God, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for our great salvation. We thank you for the redemption in the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have new hope in you, Lord, new life in you. That we have a future and a hope and the promise of one day, Lord, entering into the full inheritance and receiving glorified bodies. And the hope of your return when you come and establish your rule and your reign over from Jerusalem over all the earth, Lord. We know that time is coming. But God, in the meantime, you've authorized us to go in your name. You've called us to go and to make disciples of nations. And our nation needs to be discipled. Our communities need to be discipled. Our families, our children need to be discipled. And God, I'm asking you for help. Lord, we're asking you for your divine intervention in the affairs of this government and our president, in the White House, in the House, in the Senate. God, in every echelon of government, we pray for divine influence upon the hearts and the minds of these men and women that represent us, Lord, that you will turn their heart in the direction of your will, that your kingdom would come in and your will would be done. Father God, we pray for our community. We pray for Shelton, Washington today. God, we pray that heaven will come down in this place. We pray your glory will come down. We pray the fear of God would come upon every soul. We pray that you'd open the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf. We pray that for salvation and healing and deliverance to come, Lord God, in this city. We pray, Lord, that you will arrest every wayward son and daughter and bring them back, Lord, to you. And bring them back to the body of Christ. Bring them back to the purpose of God. Lord, bring a resurrection to the dry bones of your people, God. We pray for new life, God. We pray for revival to break out in our hearts, in our lives, in our families, in our community, Almighty God. We pray, Lord God, that you would stir up within us, Lord, that passion, hallelujah, for your presence. Oh God, to intercede and to pray and to call your presence in, God, to the earth realm, God. We pray, Lord God, that you will crush Satan under our feet and that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be exalted in this place, in this city, hallelujah. In the Northwest, we pray for an awakening in the Northwest. We pray for an awakening in America. We pray for a move of your Spirit, a sovereign move that will sweep from coast to coast. Oh God, we pray for harmony and for unity in the body of Christ, that you'll bring the churches together in your name, Lord God. Hallelujah, we pray that there'll be harmony in the Spirit, God, even among us here. God, that you draw us closer together, that your love will be shed abroad in every heart, God, that we'll be perfectly united in singleness of mind and purpose. God, for the will of God to be done is our prayer. At New Horizons, God, we just pray that you would guide us and direct us in the way that we should go, Father God. For we're not in it to build our own kingdom. But Lord, we want to advance your kingdom. We're not in it to make ourselves famous, but to make you famous. Hallelujah. God, I ask you to help. send grace and mercy. Would you surrender to Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Would you just lift your hands if you mean it? Just say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Open the doors for me, Lord. Lead me by your Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your power. And lead me. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Open our eyes, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.